Good morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And we have Jan Peterzelka, Master Gardener, joining us in the studio. So Denise and Jan, we've had a very unusual, long, hot summer. And even though we are pretty much already officially in the fall, a lot of people have had maybe some issues transitioning from their summer to fall or winter gardening. And Denise, I know last week when we did our live show, we had a call from a woman who was having issues sort of doing that transition from her summer vegetables to fall vegetables that I think many other people are dealing with because of the sort of extended summer season that we've had. You know, they've got a lot of tomatoes, they've got a lot of squash, but they're probably already itching to get those fall vegetables into the ground. You know, right. Let's sort of talk about that a little bit.
Yeah,
more.
For sure. So definitely if Elizabeth is listening, we can certainly expand on her question that she had on the call-in show. And I think if I remember correctly, she said that she started a little bit late. So she planted her summer vegetables a little bit late. So now they're starting to bounce back with her a little cooler temperatures and some well-needed moisture into our area. So that was where she was at. She's like, what do I do? Do I pull them out and then just start with the fall vegetable garden? And really, our vegetable calendar that we have, that has to be one of our most popular publications that we have, they start saying, start planting your fall garden in September. Because it's been a little too warm for this time in September, I would say that you would still be okay to do your transplants and your seedlings now. And only because a lot of these plants and these fall vegetables need a little cooler temperature in order for them to sprout. And so it's going to be warm enough right now, but it'll start cooling off so that we'll still have that increased amount of window to be able to do that. The good thing is that you can either start a lot of these plants by seeds. So you can do a lot of your leafy greens, your lettuce, your spinach by directly sowing them into the ground. But you can also go to your local nursery and get some really great deals on some broccoli or cauliflower as well. So you can do a couple of transplants and direct seeds.
I think what you said about the weather is really important too, because I've seen such a change. I mean, our monsoons have been later, and whether it's El Nino or La Nina, whoever she is, you know, all of that makes a difference. And I think we're seeing that shift, which means we can plant a little bit later. I was in nurseries the other day, and there really is still not a whole lot that's out there. And so I'm sure that those vendors are kind of keeping an eye on those things as well. But it is a great time to propagate some seeds. And if you've got a little grow light or even your windowsill, take some time. You've got to keep them damp and so forth and so on. But there's nothing like starting something from seed that gives you more gratification than saying, oh, I started this all by myself, right, and then transplanted out into the garden. So, yeah. And who knows what these weather patterns are going to do. I think it makes a big difference in our gardening.
Yeah.
And it's a great time to get our soil amended. And
that's a great point as well, because you just realistically cannot tear down your summer garden and put in your fall garden all in the same weekend.
No, you can't.
I mean, there's just no way. You should go out there and, you know, check your irrigation and make sure that you add that, because we recommend you adding compost or soil amendments at the beginning of every season. So you're doing two seasons for your veggie crops. I mean, that's
exactly, and they're heavy feeders. They really do suck the soil dry. You know, we have a little saying that we always say, he with the most compost wins. And it really is true. Because, and whether you use the bagged or you know, we encourage you doing a hot compost and making your own. It's, you know, recycling it. It's very best. But you've got to amend that soil. And I've seen a difference even in my own garden with some things that are doing really well, others that are not. So I've got to go in and do some work. But my tomatoes took care of themselves. I had a great big old tomato worm. So that made the decision for me. See ya. So now that little bed is going to get amended and ready to go for some spinach and some garlic. And this is the time to plant both of those things.
Right.
Your lettuce and so forth. So there's lots that you can do. Don't think that just because summer is over that you can't garden. This is ideal time to do a lot of wonderful things in El Paso.
Well, you were also talking about, you know, you go to the nurseries and they don't really have a whole lot. And unfortunately, the nurseries here, I'm thinking mostly of the ones in the big box stores, they sort of go with the rest of the country when
Absolutely.
It comes to offering things to plant. So even though fall is the best time for us to plant here in El Paso, you're not really going to be able to find a whole lot to plant unless it's the fall and winter vegetables.
Exactly.
We find plenty of those.
Exactly. And again, that's one of the advantages of starting from seed. But you have to back out of those things because everything starts in the greenhouse somewhere. And we are kind of a drop-off. We're along the route for some of these big trucks that come in. And I'm hopeful that, especially with our ornamentals and so forth, there's just not much out there right now. But kale, chrysanthemums, pansies, petunias do really well this time of the year. So there's still plenty out there to, you know, plug some color into your garden. And many of those leafy vegetables are beautiful. There's a lot of people that are planting those things in among their ornamentals these days, too. And it really is kind of cool.
Yeah, I've seen those ornamental sort of cabbage plants.
Yes.
I'm not crazy about. I'm like, right. Why is a cabbage decorative? It's a cabbage, you know?
Right.
I'm sure a lot of people think it's really interesting, but for me, it's like, it's a cabbage.
Cabbage.
And they'll do those in mass planting.
Yeah.
You know, they'll be all over the place. So.
But, you know, when they go to seed, they get a beautiful bloom spike on them. I mean, right. I certainly, you know, they are ornamental cabbages. It's not the kind that I plant on the other side of my house where the garden is if I'm planting cabbage to eat. And their leaves are very pretty. A lot of our fall things may, even though, for instance, with coleus, there's all sorts of beautiful coleus plants that the leaves are just gorgeous, different colors of rust and green and red and orange. But there again, those will go to seed and get a blossom on them. So you want to pinch those back and keep them nice and bushy. So there's all sorts of ways to add that color to your garden as well.
Right, exactly. And I think the one thing that really folks can look forward to is a nice fall planting of trees.
Yeah.
That's really one thing, you know, now that we have our Texas Arbor Day, which is going to be here in the first part of November, which will be here before we know it, it's going to be a great time to continue to transplant and purchase some nice trees for your landscape. And we're really lucky here that our ground does not freeze. So even though the weather makes a turn and gets really cold, you know, we'll still be okay because that soil will be buffered as far as our temperature. So now's a really great time to start looking and seeing what you like to bring in from the nursery to your landscape and on a more permanent basis.
Exactly. And fill in those holes. But yes. Make sure when you do that, you all, and you plant them, you've got to do planting as well. And I always think back on the things that I've done wrong that are really good lessons. And when you plant that tree, make sure that you stop and think about the mature size of that tree.
Right.
Don't plant it too close to the house or a fence or whatever. You've got to think about how large that thing is going to be when it grows up.
And usually the label, you know, will tell you how big it's going to get,
exactly.
Ideally. Maybe not in El Paso conditions, it probably won't get to its ideal height or width, but it will still get pretty large.
True. Right, exactly. And the best place to be able to put those large shade trees are going to be on your south or western side of your property. And that's way it's going to be able to shade that direct sun coming into your place. One thing I think people, if they like to plant and have an extra set of nuts, would be a pecan tree.
Yes.
I've seen those in residential landscapes as well. And those guys have such a long growing season too that you get shaded even well into the fall.
Absolutely.
Is that right?
Absolutely. I have three in my backyard, and they're huge. And they go through different periods of you know, they get their little tassels on them, and sometimes it's kind of messy. But most of all, they provide that wonderful shade. And then when I harvest pecans and the neighbors are knocking on the door or the ladies at the beauty shop, you know, do you have pecans this year, Jan? It's wonderful. You know, it's fun to share.
And in the springtime, they're really kind of late to leaf out, right? So you still get that winter sun.
They claim that when, and this is not necessarily research-based, Denise, but when your pecan trees start to bud, that's a sign that winter is over.
Oh.
And
you don't need a Punxsutawney fill to
That's
tell you.
That's right.
Exactly.
And
for your pecans. And also, you know what I've also heard from your mesquites, your older established mesquites, because they will avoid those late season frosts.
They're smarter than we are, I guess. They've been around a while. And those trees, those pecan trees, ours are over 40 years old. And I now remember when Stallman's and so forth was in business, I remember reading that they can, if they're taken care of, they'll live up to 60, 70 years old. Because everything does have a lifespan. But they're wonderful trees.
They're and pretty then heavy when they, feeders, though, aren't they?
They are, but they like zinc. And I do a deep root feeding, and then the, mine are in my yard, so they're getting good water from my irrigation system. But, yeah, they're pretty amazing. And then when their leaves fall, you collect those and you use them in your compost heap. So they make a great cover in your garden, and then they'll turn into all that good stuff.
Well, hopefully we're going to start seeing some bulbs in stores here soon because it's coming up on time to get our spring flowering bulbs in the ground.
Yes, exactly. And my thing, I don't plant any bulbs outside in my garden. I tend to force them. And I like to keep them inside. Uh-huh. And the first year that I did paper whites, the narcissus on there, I said, yeah, it does really stink. And it's really confined.
I don't care for the scent smell at all.
Right, exactly. And it was always fine because I had smelled them before, but I had never held them in my house.
Yes. It's a different
in the
environment.
Winter,
is like
in
whoa.
The closed.
Yes, in your enclosed living room. Where...
Exactly.
Yeah, my mom had that issue, not with any bulbs, but with the Texas mountain laurel.
Oh,
the flower smells so pretty. I'm going to bring some inside. She's like, never again.
Right.
They were just so aromatic to the point where it was just too much.
Right, exactly.
Pretty smelling things should stay outside.
Exactly. With fresh air
and
a breeze.
Yes, exactly.
It's a good time to put in, I always think of gladiolas and I think of my own mother because she loved, loved glads. At Christmas time, when you get your amaryllis, a lot of people get amaryllis for gifts.
Yes.
I've taken mine and put them out in the garden, and they've rebloomed. So they're pretty cool.
And they're
beautiful. Those are,
they are.
And long-lasting.
They are, inside and out.
But if you're going to get tulips or hyacinths, those in particular need some extra special care. And if you are one who tends to forget things, it might not be a good idea for you to get them because you're supposed to put them in your fridge or, you know, somewhere very cold for about 12 weeks before you put them out on the ground. And 12 weeks seems a long time. I know I would forget it and I would just, you know, they just become part of the background in the refrigerator.
Sure.
And you would just totally forget to take it back out again.
I wonder if our phones have an alarm that you can set ahead 12 weeks
12
so that you can
probably write it on the calendar.
That's right.
Go
That's
ahead
why...
12 weeks and take your bulbs out.
That's
of
why
the
you
fridge.
Journal in gardening so that you kind of know where you are. But then you have to look at your journal too.
Right.
So that makes a difference.
Yeah, because if you've ever planted tulips or hyacinths directly into the ground without the chilling, you're going to still have a really nice plant come up, but you're not going to have a flower.
Exactly.
Right.
And we get lots of questions about tulips. Can we do tulips in El Paso? And of course, once you've been to Salt Lake City, Utah, it's, you know, it's like I'll enjoy them from afar. But they're tough. They're tough to get them to flower. So enjoy them.
Because we just don't get cold enough, I guess.
Exactly. Cold enough and for a longer time.
Period of time.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're out of time, but hopefully we've given everybody enough, I guess, hints to get out in the garden now that the weather's hopefully going to start getting cooler because fall will have to eventually come here to El Paso. But Denise, you mentioned earlier in the show about your planting calendar that the Master Gardeners have that's available online. All you got to do is what your search engine, Google, Yahoo, MSN, type in El Paso Master Gardeners. You'll get straight to that page, and it's a great page to look around. And the Facebook page is amazing as well, linked to from that particular page. Or you can go to the Good to Grow page at ktep.org. We have the links for you there. And in case you're not online, you can always call the Master Gardeners with your questions at 771-2354, 771-2354. Well, Jan, it's great to have you back here in the studio with
Norma.
Us.
It's always fun to be here.
Jan Petterzelka is a Master Gardener here in town, and we also want to thank Jairus Muller for engineering today's show and Evan Walsh for producing and editing it. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
And remember, a gardener shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.